The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simen Kuf Memches, Yichud Shach HaKadushin. This very short simen talks about the halacha, the concept that after the marriage ceremony, the chuppah, is performed, then the chassan and kala proceed to what's known as the yichud room, where they're secluded with each other. Now, we mentioned a little bit last time that there are a number of different opinions as to what creates the final stage in the marriage process, known as nisuin. There's an opinion that standing under the chuppah itself creates that. There's an opinion that the chasana and kala, the bride and groom, sitting together at the chasana meal, that itself shows that they're married. We mentioned the badekin, covering the face of the kala before the chuppah, and then being subsequently covered during the chuppah, that itself also shows that there's a nisuin, that the husband and wife, the Yekes, the German Jews, and many Sephardic Jews, they have a custom that under the chuppah, the husband and wife are covered with a talis. That's known as priestess talisa. It's another form of demonstrating husband and wife. These are all different forms. The strongest one is yichud. Now, yichud could mean that they're secluded in a room completely by themselves, which is roi labia, meaning to say that it's a seclusion that they would even be comfortable to be intimate with each other. And obviously, that doesn't need to happen at all, but the point is that that's what shows that this is a real finality of the marriage, that they're in such a situation, because obviously, if they weren't married, it would be prohibited. You could have a yichud that, let's say, that people may come in and out, but it's still considered their room. So that would be another form of that final step of the marriage. Now, if we see the, look at the kitzur here, we'll see what the kitzur's opinion is, and then we'll discuss what others' opinions are. Sif Aleph. Ikra chuppah. The main chuppah, says the kitzur, the main nisuin, this final stage of the marriage, humasha achara kedushin, this is that after the kedushin, malichin as a chassan vakal lechidim yuchud, that the bride and groom go to a special room, v'oichlin sham yachav amokam sinua, and they eat there, a little suda, have a little bit of food, in a private place. And one should be careful that no one should go there. That it should be completely secluded, completely private. This is the chuppah that solidifies and finishes the marriage. Now, there's a number of halachic differences between a woman who's mekudesh, is only betrothed, to a woman who's a nesua. That is that for all the monetary aspects of marriage, that say the husband's obligation to support her, and the husband's rights to, say, certain assets that she brings into the marriage, these types of things only happen once the nisuin takes place. So therefore, there's a very real difference, at least monetarily, between when a woman has a status of mekudeshes, even though she is considered to be a married woman, in the sense of the prohibition of adultery, but as far as the from a monetary aspect of it, from an obligations aspect of it, that those obligations really only begin from the time of nisuin. Now, there is a discussion that if the main thing is yichud, this seclusion, then it should take place right after the chuppah, and that's the common Ashkenazi custom, which is they go directly from the chuppah, where they made the Sheva Brachas, directly to the yichud room. We mentioned last time that some Sfaradim have the custom that the yichud takes place after the meal, and this is a discussion, and so one explanation is given is that because they're still involved in the wedding, so therefore it's not really such a hefsek, such a really break in time. Now, we see here that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch's opinion was is that Yichud is the real Nisuin. That's, he clearly lays that out. If you look on Aruch HaShulchan, another very important halachic authority, He lists all the different opinions of what nisuin could possibly be, a lot of things that we mentioned, and he feels that really they're all good, and he explains a very interesting thing. What he explains is that all these things are ways of completing the marriage and showing in a ceremonious way that it's not just mekudeshes, it's not just betrothed, it's actually nesuah. So therefore, just like in any transaction, when people have a custom that they do it a certain way, right, whether it's a handshake, whether it's other ways of showing that this is final. So here also, different places have different customs to demonstrate that the marriage was complete. So therefore, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, all these ways are really good. So therefore, say there was an issue with the yichud wasn't done properly, let's say, but nonetheless, because they were standing on the lechuppah, because they were sitting together at the meal of the wedding, all these things, that would be fine. Now, another discussion is, do we need there to be witnesses to see them going into the yichud room or not? Now, obviously, if you're the opinion that standing under the chuppah is enough, like the Aruch HaShulchan says, so everyone saw them standing under the chuppah, so that's fine. Now, it's possible as well that nesuin is not necessarily the same type of thing as kedushin. Kedushin is a transaction; it's him giving her a ring, and that's what's happening over here. Nesuin is more of a status; it's more of that the husband and wife are living as husband and wife together, and being in the yichud room perhaps is the beginning of it, but the point is that it's not such a transaction that needs witnesses. Now, the common custom is that witnesses do see them go into the room, but there is a discussion whether or not that's really necessary at all. There's also a discussion how long they have to stay in the yichud room together. Some say even a minute or two, some say longer, but the point is that the common practice is the witnesses do watch them go into the yichud room and stay around for a couple of minutes, and then they walk away, and that's generally the practice done. Let's continue with the Sif Beis. The Basula Kaina Yichud Zeh Afal Gav Deinere Labia says the Kitzer that even if we work with only the opinion of Yichud being secluded, if the woman is a Basula, if she's never been married before, then even if it's not Roy Labia, which means to say it's not private enough that they would be intimate. Kagain Shehinida, for example, that she is a Nida, she's ritually impure, Aisha bin Adam Nechnas of Yaitim Sham, or people are coming in and out, so it's not completely private, and the Kitzer adds in parentheses, because Shehinida, when she's ritually impure, so because they're newly married and they've never had relations together, we mentioned that there's an issue of them to be secluded, because even though a wife, when she is in Nida, is prohibited, but because the husband and wife have had relations together, so therefore we say that we're not concerned that they're going to do something they shouldn't be doing, but with a new couple, we have a concern, so that's why if a woman is in Nida at the beginning of the wedding, then they can't be secluded until she becomes tahar, because she becomes ritually pure. So says the Kitzer, so in such a situation, you need to have some sort of supervision. Sometimes they'll take children with them, so the children so don't, you know, disturb the situation so much. You know, it's not like having an adult there, but yet it takes away the concern of them doing something that they shouldn't be doing. The imlaikain, because if not, because otherwise they would be prohibited before they consummated the marriage. So the bottom line is that according to the Kitzer, if a woman is not an almana, she's not a widow, then even if the yichud isn't complete, it would still be enough to solidify the marriage. Siv Gimel. Aval ba'amana ain't a kind el yichud haroy labia, but for various reasons, an amana widow, we need a yichud that's roy labia. I believe the way the Aruch HaShulchan explains is because since when it came to a second marriage, they didn't make it as extravagant, so therefore it's not as clear that the marriage is solidified unless it's in a really private situation. Tainoshi tahira, and therefore it would have to be that she is ritually pure, vein adam nechnas hasham, and there's no one there. Siv Dal. Ain oisin kinyan b'Shabbos. We know you can't make a legal transaction on Shabbos, and the point is that if a couple were to become a nesuin, completely married on Shabbos, through nesuah, through being secluded with each other, so then because the husband and wife get mutual, get different financial and obligations to each other, so therefore they're like acquiring something on Shabbos. And therefore, if the marriage was on a Friday, today it's rarely done, but in Europe, it was a very common practice. Tzrichim lizar ma'od shiyah yichud hakoina kodem Shabbos. They need to be careful that there was proper yichud before Shabbos, because if it would be complete yichud, then it wouldn't be a problem, because we mentioned that if it would be completely private yichud, that would be a complete kinyan. Bein bebesula bein ba'amana, so whether a besula or amana, whether she was married or unmarried, if they have the proper yichud before Shabbos, then it removes any problem. But if they did not do the proper yichud beforehand, then it will be prohibited to consummate the marriage on Shabbos, because it would seem that by consummating the marriage, you're also solidifying the marriage from as far as obligations are concerned, so we'd have the issue of sort of acquiring something on Shabbos. This seemed to be a custom, at least with a almana, with a widow, not to consummate the marriage on Shabbos. There is a discussion about a woman who was unmarried before, and she never was married before, that the Kitzer brings that they shouldn't consummate it on Shabbos unless there was proper yichud beforehand. I believe there is a discussion, maybe it's not unanimously agreed upon, but there is a discussion about that. So this is a very short siman, and really just covers the concept of yichud that we learned about, and then the next siman continues to talk about the Shavuot brachas and the Suda of the Chasana.